Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written in the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country via another route.
Thank you, Susie. Wow. Let's take a moment to pray, and then we're going to have a look at this text together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful text that kind of bookends the narrative of your birth. I pray, Lord, help us all to take something afresh from this morning. Amen. Well, I wonder how you are getting on with your New Year's resolutions or your good intentions for 2023 so far. Anyone who was here last week, as I shared online, I try and avoid New Year's resolutions by and large. Why? Because I know how easy it is to break them in usually a really short space of time as well. But why is that? Why is it that we find like making those changes so hard? Well, it's because ultimately most New Year's resolutions, good intentions, call them what you will, require change. If we want to lose weight, if we want to get fit, if we want to read the Bible more or learn a new skill, then there is always a cost attached. We're going to have to change something of how we are in order to do whatever this new thing might be. We might have to let go of familiar habits in order to make new ones. And that comes at a cost, and change always does, doesn't it? And sometimes that cost can feel too painful to want to really embrace it and take it on. And it's crazy, isn't it? Because even though we sometimes see the obvious benefit of the change, it can still be hard to make it. And of course, the root emotion underneath this is fear, isn't it? It's a fear, perhaps, of the unknown. Maybe it's a fear of a failure, a fear of missing what we have held dear, a fear that God might not come good on his promises. And of course, as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, we are called to step into new things by God constantly. The kingdom only goes in one direction, forwards. And Jesus never says, does he? You never find anywhere in the Gospels Jesus going, actually, if you could stay exactly where you are and just just keep repeating basically what you've always done, he never says that. does he? There's always more to knowing Jesus through the length of a lifetime. Do you know what I mean? There is always more to knowing Christ. And what we see in our reading this morning in the Epiphany is two very different responses to the good news of Jesus' birth. And so up until this point in the Christmas story, if you've been worshipping with us this last couple of weeks, you'll know it's all been rejoicing, hasn't it, in the Christmas narrative. Mary treasuring things in her heart, elated shepherds shouting and singing praises, legions of angels tipping up and regaling us with choral spectacularness. And rightly so, because God becoming one of us in Jesus is, I mean, it's one of the greatest thing, perhaps second only to the cross and the resurrection in the whole of human history. It is a cause for joy and celebration. Then comes Herod, the fly in the ointment of the Christmas story, isn't he? And so he's tipped off to Jesus's birth by the arrival of the wise men, or sometimes they're referred to as the Magi. And these people, we don't know how many of them are. We know the three gifts, but you know, tradition has it that perhaps there's one magi per gift. They've seen a new star in the sky. And they believe that that star signifies the arrival of a new king. And they have set off to go and find said new king. And logically, they stop at the first place that they would expect to find a new king. They stop at the current king's palace. Presumably because they're expecting to find Herod knee-deep in nappies and baby bottles, right? But at this news that Herod hears that Jesus has been born, a new king has been born, this news that God has acted, Herod has a very different reaction. And he asks his advisors, it's backed up, they quote back to him Micah 5, saying that, yeah, this new king, Jesus, has been born in Bethlehem. And Herod's reaction, it's fascinating, isn't it, that the author captures this. It says, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened. Let's just let that sink in for a moment. Herod, this adult king, ruler, was frightened. Well, let's think for a moment. What's he frightened of? Is he frightened of a baby coming round to depose him or a toddler? No, of course he's not. It's not the birth of Jesus that terrifies him. It's the implication, isn't it? He's frightened of the change that this news might bring to him. That at some point in the future, he is going to lose his status and power as king. Of course he always was going to. He was always going to die and that was going to happen at some point. But it triggers that bit of fear in him about the change that could come. Perhaps it's not even the power and the status, it's just the fact that his life is going to be different if people know that the next and new king has been born. And of course, for Herod, you know, he's missing the point, isn't he? That if God is acting and bringing change, then that change is probably going to be a positive one. And that's true for us. If God is active in our lives, God is working to bring great stuff, good stuff in your life. And how different things might have been for Herod had he only not been ruled by his fear, had been a little bit more open to what God was doing in Jesus. But of course, he isn't. And therefore, we will never know how that story might have ended. He misses everything that Jesus might have brought into his life. Now, the flip side of Herod, of course, is the wise men, the Magi. And what we see in them is not just the absence of fear, but an openness to Jesus and an openness to what Jesus might bring. You know, it's an openness that means the first thing we hear about them is that they've been willing to travel some great distance to try and find him. You know, history doesn't tell us how far they've come, but the implication is that they have journeyed long and far to search for this new king. And that's even more remarkable when you think that, you know, one of the points we often make about the Magi is that they are not Jewish. So the king they've come to seek out is not their king, so to speak. And yet they've still made this huge commitment of time, of resource, of energy to come and seek out this little baby. And boy, do we see how that openness to change pays off. Because even before they get into the room with Jesus, they are just standing outside what's probably a house. The star comes to a stop. And at that point, we read, when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. You know, they are not even in the room with Jesus. They are outside the house that he's in. And yet the presence of Christ has the power to bring overwhelming joy and transformation from however they were feeling to that place of joy without even being in the same room. It's amazing when we think of what Jesus is capable of. And this is Jesus who's probably, you know, still a small child, perhaps even a toddler at this point. They come in, they're welcomed in, and that's when they have their epiphany. And what epiphany means is a moment of revelation, specifically in a Christian sense, about who Jesus is. And they come into Christ's presence, and their reaction, again, is that they bow, they humble themselves in worship. And we forget how extraordinary this change and this transformation is, because, you know, these are big, important guys, and they've come not to a palace, not to a temple, but just to an ordinary, run-of-the-mill, bog-standard, ordinary house, and met two very ordinary parents, you know, normal, you know, working dad, mum, and Mary and Joseph. And yet these major humble themselves. They physically make themselves lower, which again in that day has huge significance, just of position and status, of laying that down before the Christ child. And they remain open, don't they, after that initial meeting with Jesus. They remain open to God and hearing him, because they hear and heed his warning in a dream to avoid Herod and go home by a different direction. Last week, I spoke about my resolution for us, for me and for us as a church. I want to see everybody grow in their faith. That's my job. That's my calling, is for that to happen firstly in me and to enable it to happen and to support it happening in others. And if we want to do that this year, and I know I do, and I hope all of us watching this morning as followers of Jesus will want to do that too. Part of that process of growing requires an openness to change and what God might have in store for each of us. And with that, an openness to God, but also a conscious effort to prayerfully bring before him our fears. Because actually we know that whenever God calls us into things, it means change, and change always has a cost. And we know that those fears could well be there, like a roadblock, perhaps, to that transformation. And I want to encourage us this year to get really super honest in our prayers, in our conversations with God. You know, to be able to say at the beginning of this year, you know, Lord, I want to do whatever it is to grow. I want to study a book with others. I want to learn to pray more often. I want to learn to hear you in scripture. But Lord, I am afraid of why. I'm afraid of what the cost might be to that. I'm afraid that I'm going to have to give up a little bit of time that I might have spent on something else. I'm afraid that you might ask me to do things in a different way to the way in which I've grown up doing it, or the way in which I've become accustomed to it. And I want to reassure us this morning, because God is more than capable of helping us through those moments. If only Herod could have seen that. Instead, I mean, he goes off on an awful path as a result of his fears. And yet we can bring that stuff to Jesus, and he will work it through with us. And we need to do that, because we don't want to miss out. Herod misses out on what Jesus had for him, and we don't have to. Instead, we're called to be like the wise men, to embrace the cost of the journey, trusting that Jesus only has great things ahead for us. I believe that is true for us as individuals. I believe that's true for us as a wider church. You know, we've spent the last couple of years really trying to keenly follow where God has been leading us and acknowledging the cost of some of the changes that has led to. But not letting that change and the fear stop us, but instead letting Jesus guide us through it. Wouldn't it be great if we get to the end of 2023 and each one of us is able to look back and go, do you know what? I can see where Jesus has brought me through this year. I can see how Jesus helped me navigate all the ups and all the downs, but ultimately I kept saying yes to his transforming power, of his love for me. Wouldn't it be great to get to the end of 2023 and to say, do you know what? I made a resolution that I wanted to grow in my faith. And boy, when I asked Jesus, he did not disappoint me when he responded. Let's pray. Lord, we come here before you this morning at the dawn of 2023 with this desire in my heart and I hope in our hearts, Lord, that we want to know you more. We want to live in the benefits of our relationship with you. And Lord, we bring before you today all the things that perhaps we would like to see, all the different places you might have us grow. And Lord, we ask you to work in those things. And Father, we acknowledge that in order to grow, we have to let go. And Lord, we bring before you the real challenge of change, the challenge of the cost sometimes that brings. Lord, perhaps where we feel those hurts. And Lord, we pray for your help to walk us through those seasons. Lord, I pray, Lord, for each person listening to this, watching this morning. I pray, Lord, for the opportunity to grow this year, for an opportunity to be able to look back and go, goodness me, I followed where Jesus led me, and wow. And Lord, I pray, help us to support one another as we journey together through this year. Pray these things, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.